The slate is stupid. These three top 10 matchups, you're talking about teams that almost everybody has in their playoff picture, and they're facing off the first week of the season. So we're getting the playoffs in week one. It doesn't get any better than that.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Wednesday and welcome to Crane & Company. Thank you guys for joining us, making us a daily watcher listener. Remember, without you, there is no us, and we're putting out tons of content. You guys are watching it. We appreciate it. Keep sharing it. Keep subscribing. Got another great one for you today as we are literally running to week one, which, guys, in my opinion, the Thursday slate of games.
Can't wait.
Is pretty good. South Florida is sneaky down there with Golish, too, with Boise. And the more I watch Ashton Gentry running the NFL, the better I feel about South Florida. But we got another fantastic guest on for you guys today. Was a hell of a player, is an even better person. You can find him on the C-Ball, Get Ball pod as well. Our good friend, Georgia legend, former NFL star / stud, David Pollack. Let's go, DP. What's up, buddy? What's up?
The warm welcome. Appreciate it. Great to see you guys again, dudes.
Dude, of course, man. I know, like us, you're super excited, you know, for the season. But, man, starting with week one, and I'm trying not to let recency bias and the season being here kind of cloud what's happened in the past. But I'm trying to go back through the years. I've never been more excited, and I don't think we've had a collection of games like this from start to finish, from top to tail in week one since I can remember. Dude, do you feel the same way?
The slate is stupid. Yeah. I mean, it's stupid. We get a weekend of it, and it's a holiday weekend. So it just keeps getting better and better, because now we all have the rights to look at our spouses and be like, sorry, babe, like, this is my job. Like, I have to sit on this couch and be a bum. Can you fix me some food, please? Like, I can't miss anything. So I think it's I think everybody's excited. I don't know. I can't remember. You usually have that one game or maybe two games. And I think there was a year like in 2016 where there was like two or three, but not like this, man. I mean, three top 10 teams, like these three top 10 matchups, you're talking about teams that almost everybody has in their playoff picture, and they're facing off the first week of the season. So we're getting the playoffs in week one. It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, and literally a rematch of the national championship semifinal game with Texas and Ohio State. And that's where I want to start, DP. You know, a lot of the talk and the biggest narrative that we've continued to talk about that we think in college football is new quarterbacks with really, really good rosters around them. And a lot of the focus in this game has been on Arch Manning and Julian Sand, two new starters. You got two new coordinators at Ohio State as well. You know, obviously playing on the road is an advantage for the home team. But when you look at the way this Ohio State team is put together structurally around Julian Sand, and you look the way that this Texas team is put together structurally around Arch Manning, which quarterback do you think has the advantage when it comes to the roster around them? Which roster would you, I mean, it's a high class problem, but which roster would you choose if you were the new starting quarterback? Would you choose Texas or Ohio State's?
It's definitely rich people problems. And the only reason this is a debate, by the way, is because Ohio State has the best player on the planet, like at playing the position or playing any position in college football. So like, Jeremiah Smith is the best player in college football. The best defensive player is Caleb Downs. So that's the reason this is a debate, because they've got two absolute superstars that play at the highest level. But all the turnover, the majority of the turnover is at Ohio State. Like, here's what I don't hear enough is Will Howard. It wasn't just the throwing the ball, man. Will Howard's ability to run the ball, break tackles. We knew that offensive line was not very good. He was able to make it look good. There's a lot of guys that are returning. Their best players aren't returning from that offensive line. So I think the supporting cast at Texas, the defense is the best in the country. So I get that defense week one, same coordinator. I get the offense, same coordinator. So like, I trust the continuity of Texas and the pieces around it more. But you got to realize, those aren't just pieces that Ohio State has. It's supernatural pieces. And the area that Texas is the most vulnerable is the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Now you're playing on the road, which is the hardest thing to do for an offensive lineman. So that does even the scales out a little bit. But man, Ohio State, a lot of leadership gone. The best 1-2 punch offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator in the country doesn't reside in Columbus anymore. And it did a year ago.
No, without a doubt. And you know, David, we're both defensive guys. You know, obviously David and Blaine are offensive guys. If you're the play caller, if you're the defensive coordinator, whether it's Matt Patricia, whether it's Pete Kwiatkowski over there on the other side, and you're facing this type of roster with a new quarterback, you can't always do the same thing, right? I don't want to talk in absolutes because you got to mix it up. But would you lean pressuring or would you lean showing pressure from the same alignment and getting to different things throughout the game? Because if it's me, I want to show you almost the same thing every time pre-snap and be able to get to 4 to 5 different things as opposed to showing you different things pre-snap to do one thing. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, you have to do that the whole game, right? There's always a chess match of that going back and forth. And here's the thing about this is a rematch, but last year, I think Texas, and this is just off my head, so I could be wrong, but I think they held Jeremiah Smith to one catch and less than 5 yards. So they did a great job with their defense. They've got those guys that are back. Colin Simmons can wreck a game. Anthony Hill can wreck a game. Like they have the ability, and that's where Ohio State's in a better position to me is they've got the same staff. So you know exactly what you're asking these guys to do. It's the same verbiage. It's the same talk. And so I think you want to do a little bit of everything. But I tell you this, Julian Sain, I'll be so interested to watch him because everything I read and hear about him is quick release, ball out, accurate. He's going to have to be because – when you heated up Will Howard, like you had to pay for it when he broke a tackle. He could also make that secondary play and make you look stupid. I think this offense for Ohio State is going to look different. Max Clair at tight end is going to be really good, really good to go with Jeremiah Smith. So can you work the middle? Can you work the outside? But I think it's what do I trust? Because Arch's legs have proven to be a weapon. I assume they're going to use those. And that, again, that dictates coverage too, because how much man do I want to play when I got backs turned to the guy that can hit 20 miles an hour on the GPS? And so all that stuff, it's going to be taken in as we go. How do we hold up on the outside with the weapons? But, you know, obviously Jeremiah Smith is number 1, 2, and 3 in stopping.
Yeah, well, I mean, Cone, we all know if you're going to play two man, you feel a lot better defensively if the quarterback can't run because if that back bails and he breaks through that front line. I actually saw it in the Sam Houston State Western Kentucky game.
Yes.
I think Hudson Brown or whatever his name is took off for about 60 in two man when the seas parted. You can stunt the front, but if your ass don't get there and the guy can run, he's going to hit his head on the goal.
That's why they played a lot of two man against me. it worked a lot of the times.
Dave,
got a fun one in Clemson. Clemson hosting LSU. Both Tigers, both claim Death Valley, both great rosters right now with returning quarterbacks, kind of unusual in this landscape of college football that we're talking about for this season. Clemson right now favored by more than a field goal. Obviously, LSU comes in with this, 5 straight losses in week one openers. What's it going to take for Brian Kelly and LSU to pull an upset in Clemson?
They got to run the football, man. Like, there's a couple things that has to happen. Last year, they had no balance. And when they didn't have balance, they really, really struggled. They've got to run the football. You cannot drop back against Woods and Parker and company. Like, you can't do that and win. Like, not at Death Valley. Everything, it's going to be really bad, especially, again, 4 new starters, new tackles who haven't played football on the outside. So you better have some balance on offense. And listen, LSU, man, I'm here for it. I love the LSU talk. Like, we used to talk about DBU with LSU. It's been a hot minute since they've had anything resembling that. The pass defense has to be better. And Clemson is one of the best passing attacks in the country. So I don't know how good they're going to be able to run it, but I know they got 4 receivers that are going to play in the NFL. They got a quarterback. Both these quarterbacks are, you know, the second-ranked quarterback for the Heisman Trophy. So it's going to be fireworks. It's going to be fun. But obviously Clemson, again, less question marks. And I am so excited to see Clemson's defense because when I watched Clemson a year ago, I didn't look at them and go, man, they got a personnel problem. I didn't say that. I looked at them and I was like, they got some other problems, and they need to scheme this up better. And they've got some frippin' dudes, man. Like, they got a first-round corner. They got 2 first-round offensive linemen. Sammy Brown in the middle is a freak show. Yeah. Guys, he played at the golf tournament this year, and he was like, I was asking about his workouts and stuff because the dude's 6'4". I mean, yoked up. He was like, well, you know, we did sets of 12 the other day for squats. I did 535. Yeah. I was like, what? For 12?
I know, yeah.
I was like, my gosh. So he's a freak. There's others on that D, but I'm excited for Clemson. I'll be honest, man. I took my chip with Dabo, too, and I'm all in on Clemson this year. Yeah. I think they got a great season ahead, and they got a great week in Death Valley Junior, which is what Brian Kelly called it this summer. Death Valley Junior. That's where they play at in Clemson.
Well, I think we all three have Clemson and the Natty, right, but losing?
Yeah, I've got Clemson losing. I'll say, and we mentioned this the other day in our LSU-Clemson prediction video, which you need to check out. If you want home improvement, you get Tim Allen. If you want defense improvement, you get Tom Allen. Because that dude, you want to talk about getting guys fired up to play and a culture shift? Go watch one practice with this guy out there. Because you're right, DP. They got the dudes. You look at them.
Hey.
They got the dude. Peter, TJ, Sammy, all those guys. They got the dudes. There's always an exciting wide or two running around in the back end there at Clemson that can do it.
And let me tell you something, too, about that. There's no better fit in the country than Tom Allen. Like, that's like a glove to a hand. The way he runs his stuff and love everybody. Like, he is perfect for Dabo culture. They were deciding between him and another guy that got a big-time job. A big-time job that left Ohio State as their defensive coordinator. And this guy was a better fit for them, and that's why they hired Tom Allen. So I agree. I think it's going to be a great fit, and it could be a great turnaround quick.
Losing someone close to you changes everything, and it's impossible not to think about what the future holds. The truth is, most of us worry about whether our families would be okay financially if something happened to us. The last thing any of us wants is for our loved ones to struggle with bills and expenses during an already difficult time. That's where life insurance from Ethos comes in, giving you peace of mind that your family will be protected no matter what. Ethos makes getting life insurance surprisingly simple and, most importantly, affordable. They're completely online platform eliminates the hassle of traditional insurance, no medical exams, no lengthy appointments, just a few quick health questions, and you can get a quote in as little as 10 minutes. What makes it even better is that you can often get same-day coverage without ever leaving your house, which means your family could be protected by the end of today. You might be surprised to learn that the quality coverage can cost as little as $2 a day. And with Ethos, you can customize your policy to fit your budget while still getting up to $3 million in protection. The company has earned serious recognition too. Business Insider named Ethos the number one no medical exam instant life insurance provider as of March 2025. And they boast an impressive 4.8 star rating on Trustpilot. It goes to show why they've become the go-to choice for people who want reliable coverage without the runaround. Protect your family with life insurance from Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/booster. That's Ethos, ethos.com/booster, B-O-O-S-T-E-R.
Well, David, I'm going to get to the Alabama-Florida State question for you, but I want to shoot this one at you first. Who needs this win more in week one? Brian Kelly?
Oh, dude, that's
Kelly Nabor.
Oh, I thought you were going Brian Kelly or Dabo. It's got to be because of the opponent. It has to be Kalen DeBoer.
Agreed.
Like, I'm okay with you losing to a top five team, bro. Like, I'm good with that at their place. But if you're Bama and you lose to a team that won two games a year ago and that's not been doing this over the last year, I mean, it's been 50 years since FSU had a team win just two games.
Yeah, so they're a girls' school.
True. But DeBoer 100% needs this year, because the last time Alabama lost four games, it was Saban's first year, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's got to get it going in the direction. And I hear a lot of people buying into Alabama and all on board. And I've seen people pick them for a national championship. That's big time praise. And that's expecting, like, listen, Kalen DeBoer is going to take a big jump, because you can't tell me in any given world that Nick Saban loses four games last year with that roster. There's no way you can convince me of that. I'm not buying it.
Well, David, how much stock do you put into week one performances? Like a barometer of a team's success throughout the entire year. Even if you lose a game, is it all over? Or listen, where's your stock level for week ones?
No, it's definitely not all over. It's got to be the whole season. But, I mean, the opponents we play have to matter too, right? Like, there's a lot of games. Like Notre Dame, Like, I'm not kicking Notre Dame to the curb if they lose to Miami week one at Miami with a first-time starting quarterback who's taking four snaps. Like, I'd love to watch them just like last year. I saw Notre Dame down the stretch, and I was buying Notre Dame, and I was being told I was stupid. You can't buy Notre Dame. Like, they're Notre Dame. They're not going to be able to do this. But, like, I loved what I saw from them. So I think early on, we take the whole season into account, and that's why we're not going to a stupid 2018 bracket, by the way. Get the freak out of here with that crap.
Yeah, please
stop. But these has to matter. These out-of-conference showdowns have to matter. And to me, the big three top 10 matchups, these are seeding games. Like, they're still going to be the playoff mix. They're still going to be, you know, big-time teams. But where are we going to rank them in the end? This will go a long way in determining.
Well, that's why I think that to me, the biggest seeding game is for Clemson. Like, I think this game for Clemson is, if you want to get into the top four with the new seeding rules and get a bye, Clemson, I think, has to split LSU and South Carolina. Because if they get to 11-1 and then 12-1 and win the ACC, you're going to get a top four seed. You go undefeated, you're probably going to get the top overall seed. So if you're looking at Clemson, I mean, to me, from a seeding arrangement, it's huge. But to the week one, I want to see what you look like and how you move. That's the biggest thing that I can see. Teams are going to get better and going to get worse throughout the year. It's tough to go inside the locker room and know mentally how these guys are going to improve each week. But if you got the Cats running around, if I turn on and I'm watching LSU and Clemson, and LSU defensively looks like what they used to look like, running around and making plays, then I can be like, okay, you may have lost, but I can see you doing this. Because if you don't have the dudes to do it, you're not going to do it over a 12-game regular season. I just want to see if you got the Cats to answer that. But go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I want to go ahead and get this Alabama-Florida State question out here quickly. David, just what are your thoughts on the game right now? It's obviously sitting 13.5 going Alabama's way. That is a huge spread to me. Your thoughts on Ty Simpson? And if Florida State were to win this game, David, tell me how they have to go about doing it.
Well, okay, let's take that one piece at a time. Here's how Bama wins. When you asked that last part, how did Bama lose a year ago, guys? All the losses, all the struggles, running quarterbacks. Like, look at all the teams that they really struggled against. Vanderbilt, Jackson Arnold is still running and ran his way into a new bag at Auburn, Alabama because of how good he did, right? Like, I think that they really struggled against South Carolina. Big time struggle, man. Like, Lenora Sellers and company almost won the game. So I think the running QB element for Alabama last year was a big problem. Is that still a problem? Because Tommy Boy, Thomas Castellanos, that dude can fly.
Yeah,
like,
he can run.
He can't run. He can dance. He can, like, you can play touch football in the elevator with that dude and lose. I mean, he is quick as it gets. Now, he's popped off at the mouth, which I would not have recommended. I would have recommended talking a little bit of trash this offseason, but that would be how you do it. Gus Malzahn is the offensive coordinator now. He's got experience, plenty of experience against playing in big games against Alabama and did well. Running QB, eat the clock. You know, a lot of those transfers take hold. And then Alabama in the offense. Like, what does Ty Simpson look like? Is he Mac Jones? Mm-hmm. Like, is that what he is? A guy that sat for several years and then comes on the scene and is like, that's a dude. Like, he's a baller. Yeah. He's the man. Because there's no denying Horton, Ryan Williams, and Bernard. Like, those weapons are elite. Does that game get better? Or does that passing game get much better? But I think the offense would have to stall a little bit. But I've been told, too, and Jake, I mean, you got him to win the national championship. Mm-hmm. Alabama's offensive line is going to be dominant. They weren't last year. Mm-mm. They were not a dominant unit up front, and they didn't have a great identity. So I'm looking forward to them to bouncing back, but it's Tommy going off, running the football, Gus Malzahn doing his thing that he has in the past, and Alabama's offense taking time with Ty Simpson and looking a little sluggish.
Yeah, I think the balance and the spectrum for Alabama last year per play, you could have an amazing player, you could have a disaster. I think this year it's going to be a lot more compartmentalized, going to be a lot more balanced. We'll see with Ty. I think he's a little bit sneaky with his legs.
You better hope
too.
So if you picked him to win your natty.
For sure. I mean, dude, throw the check down for the love of God. Let's just get the defense back on the field. Let's run this old school Bama. I call it the Greg McElroy. Handoff, play action, Julio defense.
Yeah.
All right. So Auburn at Baylor. Woo! DB, I've made the argument that out of all the week one games, if we're going to talk about the significance to the longevity and health of a program, You can make the argument that Auburn has the biggest game with Hugh Freeze going into year three. Because if they lose this one and it looks bad, the schedule that's coming up after that, when you've got to go to Oklahoma and to A&M, and then you get a bye week, and then you get Georgia. I'm you know, I love South Alabama. I went to school there, but let's be honest. If Auburn wins this game, though, a lot of that negativity, people will be sending Hugh Freeze nine irons and putters and golf bags and all type of stuff. But when you look at this Auburn roster, I think it's the best one they've had since 2017, but it's all projection right now, and Jackson Arnold's got to come through. How much do you trust Auburn, not only against Baylor, but in general this year in year three under Hugh Freeze, who's been smiling at a lot more press conferences lately, so we'll see.
Well, I think both of these teams have a chance to have special seasons, and I think both of them could get to the college football playoff. So that'll give you an indicator how I think. I think now, listen, the problem with saying that with Auburn, it has nothing to do with anything except the quarterback spot.
Yeah.
Because best wide receiver duo combo in the country, top 10 offensive line, Auburn. Like, they've got it. They've got the ability to change tempos. Jackson Arnold's legs are a perfect fit because Hugh Freeze with a running quarterback is absolutely dirty. But can he do the RPOs and the simple? Because when I got Cam Coleman, bro, like, I don't have to be elite. Like, I throw it near that dude, and he catches it, and he makes me look really, really good. So, you know, and then obviously Singleton was one of the best guys to come over, and he can work the slot. Those guys can work it together. So Auburn, they're gonna be a good team, and they're going to be a hard team to beat week in and week out. If Jackson Arnold is the five-star QB that everybody couldn't miss on coming out of high school, they're going to be a mother-flipping problem. Like, they're going to be a pain in everybody's butt, and I think they'll have a chance to make the college football playoff. And listen, I love Baylor. Like, I just love Sawyer Robertson, what he is. He did an unbelievable job down the stretch last year, started to change. Pendergrass being out hurts them at running back. Washington, balance. And they're going against a team that can play aggressive. But I think this is one of the better games. You know, it's Friday night, too, which is awesome. Yeah. It's kind of got a window to itself. But both teams, I think, have pretty good expectations. But the biggest thing, guys, I think Auburn fans are literally like this. They're like, all right, like, hey, guys.
Yeah.
What are we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, what
Who
are we?
I?
Are we closer to Georgia and Alabama and LSU? Or are we now Missouri and Kentucky? And like, cause that's what they're wondering. Cause 1 year is like, that's a bad year. 2 years, okay, that really sucked. We're going on five.
Yeah.
Like a whole high school class going in and out, going, Auburn's not very good. So this is a big gut check identity crisis type of year for an Auburn fan. Cause they're wondering like, are we not, I know we're not a 10 anymore. But are we a six or a seven or an eight, or are we a two or a three, brother?
Because
it just feels like we matched on Tinder
and we've been like talking, messaging for like 2 months and I hadn't seen you yet. So I really don't know what you look like. Now we're going to meet at the park.
Yeah.
And you know, like I'm wondering what's going to show up.
Yeah.
Truly her, or is it something that I'm just not a, you know, Gorlock?
Some dude named Craig
who just shows up, he's been lying to me with a camera.
Y'all have heard of the bearskin hoodie, right? Blaine is wearing it right now for his birthday. Look at that. Well, the smart people are locking in their winter gear now because this is hands down the best time to prep for the coming winter. It's like a Game of Thrones situation. Bearskin is running a 60% off deal right now, but only if you get your hoodie early. This hoodie is built like a tank. 340 micro fleece, 10 pockets with a clean, rugged fit that looks awesome. Plus, it zips right into the heavy storm rain jacket to become 100% waterproof when you need it. Anytime you're in the elements, you're not scrambling last minute. Look at this thing right here, Bearskin. This is what you need to get. You get free U.S. shipping, fast delivery, and you've locked in your winter gear already. That's a win-win. So do yourself a favor. Text the word crane, C-R-A-I-N, to 36912 to lock in your 60% off deal. Again, text crane to 36912 to lock that in. You'll get a link sent straight to your phone so you can check it out later if you're busy right now. Don't wait until you're freezing. Get the Bearskin hoodie right now.
Every day at Sierra, you'll find top brand apparel, footwear, and gear for 20 to 60% less than department and specialty store prices. And during clearance time at Sierra, those incredible prices are 40 divided by 2.5, carry the one, even lower. And when you shop clearance at Sierra, you can save a whole lot more on everything you need to get active and outside. That's a lot of saving. Epic brands, fast selection, teeny tiny prices. That's Sierra. Visit your local Sierra store today or shop online at sierra.com.
David, before we make some of these picks here, there's a lot of other interesting things happening this weekend. I mean, we got Nebraska, Cincinnati at Arrowhead, Georgia Tech's going to Colorado. We got Tennessee versus Syracuse and South Carolina versus Virginia Tech in two AFLAC kickoff games. Michigan's going to be starting a true freshman quarterback, youngest in program history. Utah going to UCLA. So outside of these marquee matchups that we talked about, what other games or storylines are you most intrigued by for week one?
Yeah, I'm here for all of them, but this will excite you. I'm really excited to watch Bryce Underwood. I want to see him at the quarterback spot because obviously the hype is real. I watched every play of the spring game and every pass, and I can see the size, and I see he's got some athletic ability, but I also see there's a lot of work that needs to be done. But I also keep in mind that, how about this, guys? Ashton Jeanty rushed for 1,000 more yards than Michigan threw for a year
ago.
The quarterback play, it ain't like we need elite of elite. Like, we just need competent, and it needs to be good. And obviously, Underwood has the tools to be great down the road. Interested to watch the receiving core, if they can help him out, like, because it wasn't elite by any stretch a year ago. But I think Michigan's a good team that's going to be fun to watch. And if that quarterback spot can click, I got no qualms with their defense, man. Year in and year out, like, it's just, I know there's a bunch of guys that went to the league, but it's like, dude, it's plug and play. Like, they've earned that right. And their coach gets the coach game one, just not 3 and 4, you know, and then not one next
year. Picked so a good,
don't
picked
ask
a good,
for too much.
Yeah, he picked a good
college football playoff potential for them.
Yeah, yeah. Bro, David, look at the schedule.
Oh, what the heck, man?
David's walked in here drooling every day.
Yeah.
I mean, they won 8 games a year ago. And here's another thing, too, about Michigan that we got to give a lot of credit to. How about the way they finished?
Yeah.
Like, they beat the Buckeyes. They beat the Tide. Like, those are their last 2 games of the season. That's pretty dang good. And their defense were lights out. They didn't give up over 20 points in either one of those games. So, I think that just get a competent quarterback play. Like, good quarterback play, and this team goes to another level. And you got that with J.J. McCarthy, and you got a championship.
Awesome. For sure. All right. So, DP, I know on your pod, See Ball, Get Ball, you're going to make your final predictions here later in the week. I just want to know which way you're leaning a little bit right now. So nothing official. Don't have to go too far in depth. If you're not leaning a certain way, tell me. We've made our picks. We put out our Texas, Ohio State video, our LSU, Clemson one. I've got Ohio State in a close one. Blaine's got Texas. Coney's got Ohio State, too. Are you leaning a certain way right now in
Coney's
this game?
Coney's got Ohio State, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's well, at Ohio State.
At home in the shoe.
No bias, just bread, homie.
I like that, Cone. I like you can do that and separate. I would say that I lean Texas's continuity and what I know maybe a little bit more than I do Ohio State. And I'm not sure what will change by the weekend, but like, it's just so, it's also, I also get and understand how you got Jeremiah Smith, a once in a generation type player too. Mm-hmm. So I, at home, but I think it shows you something. I'm not a point spread guy, but like, it shows you something that it's less than a field goal. Mm-hmm. Texas is an underdog by less than a field goal, and you get 3 points for home field advantage. So it kind of thinks, it shows you what they think about Texas as well.
I don't know if there's ever been a truer pick'em in the history of the world with the matchup with those two. All right, let's go to Death Valley Jr. as Brian Kelly calls it. For everybody in the comments.
Be careful.
You talked about LSU and the running game. That's something that we've talked about as well. That's one of the reasons why I'm going with Clemson. Blaine, again, he's going to go the away team in the SEC with LSU. We both got Clemson. I'm sure you're going to pick the Tigers to win. Maybe that's a safe answer.
Yeah, that's pretty safe because that's my national champion. I got Clemson winning it all this year.
Okay.
Them at home. You know, and I talked about the recipe of LSU breaking in a few new guys up front. That's not a great recipe. Interested, though, so many interesting things about LSU's defense to watch with all of the transfers from all over the place, trying to get that back end, picking the back end. Now this freshman kid that's a freak phenom, a 6'4", you know, corner that's a freshman. Interested to see him as well. But I definitely think the Clemson at home, that place is bananas. One of the toughest places to play. One of the coolest entrances in all of college football.
We just got to make sure Dabo doesn't fall down, run down.
He hasn't yet.
He hasn't yet. You know, it's been really impressive.
He's getting older every year, though.
Yeah, it is. Like, eventually, they're just going to have to, like,
mile on there.
Yeah, you're going to have to, like, wakeboard down that thing or something. All right, Auburn at Baylor on Friday. We mentioned it. Me and Blaine have picked Auburn to win that game. Cone is rocking with One Punch Man Dave Aranda and Baylor at home.
Wow, anime.
Are you leaning? Are you leaning? There's my only anime I've ever seen.
That?
Because you showed it
in the comments. Roast him.
For sure. DP, are you leaning a certain way here?
I think, obviously, being at Baylor is a big advantage for Baylor. But I just don't know. I Sawyer Robertson... He's a better quarterback than Jackson Arnold. That I know. They've got weapons. They can run the football. Down the stretch, they were as hot as anybody in the country. Yeah. But I also look at the other side, and I look at Auburn and the way they've retooled. This to me is a true pick'em. And usually, if you're going to do that, then you got to give credit to the home team, right? You've got to lean in that direction a little bit. I know Auburn has more talent. God, dog, man. Can I trust Jackson Arnold yet? He's going to prove me, you know, this season he's going to prove me right or wrong, but I'm down the middle with maybe a lean towards second.
Yeah. Like I said, either you know, going to show up and it's going to look like her, or you're going to show up and it's some dude named Craig. Bama and Florida State. I'm guessing you're leaning Bama. That's what I would guess right here. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Man, I'm probably as excited to watch Bama as any team in the country because I hear it all. And I do see the players. I don't see some of the things people are talking about. And I want to be proved right. Ryan Grubb, how big of a difference is that coming over, right? Yeah. Like that, I think that could be huge because I struggled with the figuring out the pulse and the identity of Alabama's offense a year ago. I'm like, some games they run it 30 times. Some games they throw it 30 times. I'm just like, what are we? Like, what is the identity putting my finger on it? Can they come out and establish that? Can they find a great pass rusher? And then the Ty Simpson debut. Way more talent on Alabama's side. And, you know, but a lot to prove this year for the Crimson Tide.
Well, that Bama team did have multiple personality disorder on offense last year. 100, basically the guy from Split. Last but not least, I can't wait for this one. Notre Dame heading down to Miami. Catholics and convicts, whatever you want to call them. I like Notre Dame in this one because I don't know where Miami's going to find explosive plays against this defense. I'm just having trouble finding it. Are you leaning a certain way right now between Notre Dame and Miami?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I do think Notre Dame later in the season is going to be different than they are right now. But again, the unknown of Carr, like at QB, what is he going to give me? I don't think Miami's like the toughest place in the world to play by any stretch. But I do think Carson Beck is in a perfect position to succeed. Like, I think Carson Beck's in a great spot because he's got a great offensive line that's going to pave the way, allow for play action. And I don't know if people forget how good that dude is when he is in rhythm and on time and he has the run game and the play action and the ability to anticipate because he does it as well as anybody in the country. So I actually think Miami, I have Miami making the playoff this year, guys.
Okay.
So that kind of gives you an idea.
Okay. So you have figured that out. The ACC. You have two. I got two out of the Big 12.
I got two out of the ACC.
Wow. Nice.
Who'd you
go with? Who'd you go with the Big 12 besides
man,
Arizona
I've got
State?
No, I don't have Arizona State. I'm going to tell you right now, DP, I think Mississippi State may beat Arizona State. Remember I said that. But I know Kansas State lost to Iowa State. We'll see if they're able to come back. I had them as the 9 seed losing to Utah in the Big 12 championship game. I love Utah. I love Utah this year. With Kyle Whittingham and Dampier from
Utah.
New Mexico. I just love the way those dudes play the game, man. I love the way those dudes play the game. But
David, another huge game that no one's talked about right now. Georgia versus Marshall. It's right now -39.5. Georgia, little fun fact here for you, Dave. Kirby Smart on spreads that are 38+ is 0-13. Okay. Does Kirby finally get over the hump? All right. And cover against Marshall. Right now, the spread's -39. David Pollock, go. Your answer.
No. Like, no. I'm going with you. I'm going with the numbers. Come
you
on,
got
man.
To,
like,
right? Yeah.
Hey, we've got history on our side. Like, I did not know that stat by any stretch of the imagination. But you know what? It's not surprising because Kirby has very little interest in running up a score as much as he's like, I'll run the ball when I'm up 65 times in a row and get the heck out of here and try to stay healthy. So that's not surprising. But I'm interested to watch this Georgia offense because everything I hear about the weapons and everything I've seen, they got some dudes now. They got some Branch out wide now.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem. Noah Thomas can play.
Hey, Colby Young, before he got hurt a year ago, Colby Young was already a big deal. So they got Noah Thomas. They've got some dudes out wide that can make some plays along with a tight end room. I'm excited to watch Gunnar Stockton at the helm.
We are going to cover. Anyway, David Pollack, one of the best in the business. Tell everybody where they can find your work, man. I'm loving the pod y'all got out because I know you know what you're talking about. And I just appreciate you taking some time to join us.
Oh, thank you, like always, man. Been friends with you guys for a long
for
time.
Sure.
It's C-ball, get ball. It's the only name that I could come up with. It makes a lot of sense. Defensive guy.
Those defensive guys, boys.
Man, you just, hey, like, how fun is this week? This is as good as it gets. And then we're doing like 4 days a week now, man.
So, there you
go. We're getting after it. I'm learning the world, and we're doing the YouTube stuff. It's really fun. It's really enjoyable. I've been on with you guys for years, so I finally need to do something of my own.
Oh, well, look, as long as you keep coming on, we're happy. And we'd love to come on yours. You just let us know. Got to go play golf again sometime soon.
Yeah.
But one of the best guys in the world, David Pollack, thank you, my friend.
Appreciate you, dudes.
All right, appreciate you guys. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. And remember, we're live streaming Auburn-Baylor Friday night. We're going to live stream Notre Dame-Miami Sunday night from the Cigar Bar. So make sure y'all check that out. And like the chances of me not being excited about even Thursday. Let's go. Let's go, Bulls. Come on, Golish.
No card.
Come on, Golish.
No card.
Huh? I can't find it. We're going. Gone. They took it from me. Oh!